What if you could learn more about your health in under an hour? The Pronuvo Whole Body Scan gives you a comprehensive look at your health, screening for over 500 conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one. High-quality imaging, no radiation, no contrast. Book your scan today at Pronuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Pronuvo. Invest in your health today. Visit Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
I got stuff for you.
Holy moly.
I need to get some snakes and release them around my house.
But they love eating people. They love eating kids.
These guys are the scientists of the supernatural, lecturers leaving lessons for inquiring laymen. They are applying the scientific method to a world that baffles science. They are the cryptids of the corn.
Every day that you open your mouth,
I know, right?
I'm more convinced that you're abducted by aliens.
No.
And it just stood up. I mean, it just like kept going and going. And she goes, what the?
These are idiots.
I was laughing reading this because I already knew how you would feel.
Idiot. What part of the story fits your balloon?
Well,
this isn't a UFO. Yeah.
But who else has big black wings and red eyes?
Batman.
Well, Mothman.
Oh, yeah, Mothman.
Well, everyone, I think we know exactly what it is. So say it all with me. It was the Sandhill Crane.
Would you try it?
No.
You wouldn't eat it?
No.
Why?
Because they're probably toxic.
There'd be a lot of poop in my pants. Seeing a 6-foot alligator go swinging through the air and slam into a tree.
Hello, hello, and welcome back to Crimson Corn Podcast. I'm the great and powerful Mr. E.
And I'm Jay Clone 67.
I'm the Scat Man.
You only had Tourette's.
Huh?
You only had Tourette's.
That guy?
He had a stutter.
Stutter, that's what it was, yeah.
I was just watching a video interview about that.
That the guy with the glasses and...
Yeah, like the Scat Man.
Yeah, he's good.
But he had a severe like stutter that...
Yeah.
Impeded his education and everything growing up.
And then he went with it.
He's shown you how do you turn a stutter into the scat.
They did that too for that song. Yeah, it's by the Human Beings where it's like, it's like, no, 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 no. You know that song?
Mm-hmm.
They did that, I think, because I think it was that song. The one brother in the band had a stutter and they just kind of did it, like, not poking fun at him, but just doing it. And it just sounded really good.
Mm-hmm.
So they're like, they put it into the song, made it part of the song. That's right. Oh yes. Wednesday. Welcome back, Wednesday listeners.
This is going to be a short one.
That's all right. That's all right.
But it's cool. It's just, there's nothing on it. I found one article that had a lot more on it and I'm 99% sure it was made up. Like everything on the article.
Oh, gotcha.
Like,
well, that's our job, is to decipher the real from the what's not.
And it was just a bunch of repeat, like, to make the article longer, it was a bunch of repeating things.
So, like, in high school, when you're just trying to reach that word threshold,
mm-hmm.
or the page threshold, you make your periods about four sizes, font sizes bigger, you double space after the periods, and then...
For a little bit, we could do the hidden words.
Explain.
So, at the end of a paragraph, you could put white words on the paper. And when we would turn them in, because we would, my generation was the one right between turning stuff in,
Physically
or online.
Yeah.
But before they had detection technology.
Right.
And you could do that where they just look at the word count at the bottom.
Yep. And it
so they look at the pages. You couldn't get away with like paragraphs of it.
No.
But you could put at the end of every paragraph, you could put a whole sentence of white words.
Yeah. Ah, genius. They would never see it.
And it would be like, it would just bolster the word count.
Yeah. And they never caught it?
No. Not until AI stuff.
And then they caught it. Mm-hmm. Like, what's this? One time, so when I was in high school, we used to have this thing. It was called turnitin.com. Did you guys use that? Mm-hmm. So basically anyone at home that doesn't know is you would take your... This
plagiarism?
Well, yeah, it's basically for plagiarism online. So what it would do is it would scan your whatever paper you wrote, it would scan it, and then it would pull like whatever was verbatim online, any sources, it would match it up. It would match it up, and then it would say which percentage of your art paper is plagiarized, basically. Mm-hmm. Well, me growing up, we never had the internet. We never had it growing up. I had to pull things from encyclopedias I had at home, and I did all my reports from encyclopedias and stuff like that. Well, I had to, I had to go to the school in the morning, go to the library, take my paper. We had a computer at home, so I was able to type it, but I had to save it in a USB drive, go to the school, go to the library, upload my paper through the internet, and turn it on turnitin.com. So all that effort, going through all my encyclopedias and stuff, I got my paper back, docked 20 points for plagiarism. I was like, I don't even have the internet. How is this? I was so mad. I didn't even plagiarize out of the encyclopedia.
It didn't work very well.
No, it didn't work. I didn't have the internet.
Especially now with the internet. Everything's on the internet. Yeah, so you can find. Anyways, we're going to talk about the Blue Dilly.
Ooh, like Dilly Dilly?
D-I-L-L-Y.
Yeah.
The Blue Dilly.
What, wasn't that from a beer commercial? Dilly Dilly?
Yeah, I think it was, but we won't say what beer because we're not promoting. By the way, real quick, there are products being promoted. I should have done this on Monday. There are products being promoted through ads on our show that we do not
endorse.
I went through the settings, and they're all still appropriate, like set.
From the ones we chose, yeah.
For the ones we chose not to have on our show.
So it's like they constantly will update the ad
but
stuff.
But they didn't. It's not even that this time. And other podcasts are having trouble with it. It's a huge complaint right now. So just know that we thank you guys because we've had several emails and messages.
Yes.
Like ones like mood.com, which don't go to. We don't support them. I've turned it. We've personally turned down actual money from them.
Yeah, they tried to give us money to do specific ads for them. And we said no.
Yeah. So,
and yet they still found their way onto our show.
I think it's, I don't know how it's happening, but there's a huge problem in the podcasting thing right now. So keep telling us if you hear them. We'll keep working on it. But
we got to stay on top of it constantly. And we don't know because we can't check what ads play on our show.
Yeah.
We can only check the boxes, about 500 different boxes of what we would allow. Gosh, I went through it again
this morning too.
But they're constantly changing those boxes and what they mean. And then you got to go back through and uncheck.
Every about month and a half.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. And they don't tell you when they do it.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, please just let us know. But
yeah, keep informing us.
The Blue Dilly. You ever heard of this? Lake Monster?
I don't think so. I've heard of a Dilly Bar.
This is one of the weirdest lake monsters, and there's just nothing on it, and I wish there was more. If I lived in Colorado in Summit County, I would have a Dilly Festival, a Blue Dilly Festival.
A Dilly Fest? Yeah. The Blue Dilly Fest. Let's start one.
I mean, let's go out to Colorado.
Any listeners out there?
So, this is a relatively new cryptid. It started in 2011.
Okay.
The Blue Dilly, also known as the Blue Dillon Monster, is a legendary creature said to inhabit the Dillon Reservoir in Summit County, Colorado.
Okay. So it's the Dilly's after Dillon.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay.
Often dismissed as just local myth or modern fairy tales, stories of this creature have persisted since the creation of the reservoir in 1962. Hmm. So people have said that they've seen it since 1962, but in 2011 is when it really kind of blew up. People saying that they could see it swimming underwater and stuff like that. It has gained quite a large local loyal following, from believers and folklorists to amateur researchers. It's very cool. The legend of the Blue Dilly began after the completion of the dam, when locals and visitors began reporting seeing strange, large disturbances in the water.
Okay.
Swells without wind, sudden current changes, and even sightings of a large gray aquatic figure beneath the surface that would circle especially that would encircle people, especially among nighttime kayakers and fishermen.
Okay.
Where it would even bump the bottoms of boats and pick boats out completely up out of the water.
Okay. A grayish blob like thing? What they say? Grayish?
Just for now, it's a grayish aquatic figure.
Okay, aquatic figure.
One of the most well-known accounts was from a couple who, while kayaking back to the small island of Frisco Bay, experienced a powerful, unforeseen force pushing their boat forward through the water, as if a giant orca had gotten behind it and started, you know, gunning it and pushing their boat, and they were flying.
Just pushing them, yeah.
The wife later claimed to have seen a wide, gray creature with a fin that appeared to have a clawed hand beneath the kayak.
Okay.
She sketched the figure, and her husband became obsessed with uncovering the truth behind the creature, eventually documenting his findings in a self-published book, which I'm going to buy this book. They don't name the book anywhere, but I got to find it. The Blue Dilly Monster book.
We'll track it down. Listeners?
Peyton has been the one that...
finds it?
Yeah.
Peyton, you got a job to do.
So let's talk about what the Blue Dilly looks like. There's just not, like, we're already almost through all the information I have.
Oh, okay. Well, gray, finned, or hand, or not finned hand, clawed hand.
Yeah, so it's hard to describe. The claws are on the fin like a pterosaur.
Okay.
So, like, you know, a pterosaur has, even chickens and stuff, have their little fingers and stuff on their wing.
Yeah.
It's like that with the fin. So it's not like it has a separate arm and hand. It has a little hand on its flipper.
Right.
Just making that clear.
Like a platypus?
A little more flipper.
Like a duck?
Yeah. Like a duck. No. I don't know.
A duck's foot?
Like an aquatic pterosaur.
Okay. What is a pterosaur again?
The flying pterodactyls.
Okay, that's what I thought. Okay, aquatic pterosaur.
The Blue Dilly is typically described as being grayish blue, with having an extremely large, flat body, with the large fins / flippers on each side.
Okay.
It's sometimes vaguely humanoid-ish hand or clawed hand on each flipper.
Okay.
Witness often report seeing pulses through the water, unexpected wakes, and disturbances near the surface. Unlike the traditional lake monsters, the Blue Dilly is not often seen, but is often felt, which is a feature that contributes to its eerie reputation, with it bumping boats, moving things, and, you know, big pulses of water.
Right.
It's never done anything bad, as far as I could find. It's not like there's no, like, kid drowning or anything like
getting
that.
Getting eaten
been,
by it.
That's been a you know, people blame on creatures. Now, the drawings of the Blue Dilly, specifically the one the wife does, they look like giant flying manta ray-like creatures with a little head, a tail, and two little back leg things.
Now, didn't we on Monday discuss something similar?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Weird, huh?
Yeah, that's kind of odd. What a coinkydink.
So, I don't know. We've talked about it in the in the book and everything like that with UAPs or UFOs, whatever you want to call them, that maybe some of the organic ones crash into the water too, that they live, you know, spend some of their life in the water.
Well, whether they crash in the water or they are...
Not crash, as in they hit the water at high speed on purpose.
Okay.
Not that they're slamming into it on accident. Okay. Sorry, that's not the right word.
They purposely land in the water and use the water.
Yes.
Okay.
Even I think they're doing it for reproduction.
Reproduction?
So the Blue Dilly sketches, a lot of the people that have claimed to see the Blue Dilly actually draw what appears to be like one of our flying manta rays.
Okay. Now, why do they call it Blue Dilly again? Was it the blue?
It's like blue-gray in color.
Okay.
And it's Dilly for Dylan.
Right, I remember the Dilly part, the Dylan, but the blue.
Yeah, the blue, just because it's like that gray-blue kind of style color.
Okay. Just making sure.
That's most often the color it's seen in. But like I said, most of the time it's not seen, it's felt.
Right, yeah.
So my thing with man-made reservoirs is how do lake monsters get in there, right? You know, where it's not natural or there's no natural large body. Where they can get in easily. And there's not really anything near this thing.
No, they just dug a big hole in the ground.
Well, I mean, there's a river that flows in and out.
Oh, okay.
That's how most of these reservoirs are formed. But if they are flying and spending some time or growing a little bit, what if this is, you know, an apt to breeding ground for these guys?
Yeah. Or just a resting place or a...
Yeah. We can get water.
water. What if it's a feed? What if they feed off? Well, I don't know.
Feed off.
What, you know, whatever's in the
oh, sure.
reservoir. You know, whether it's some kind of plankton or, you know, what's that called? Not aeroplankton, but, well, I guess aeroplankton in the sky, plankton in the water.
What if you could learn more about your health in under an hour? The Pronuvo Whole Body Scan gives you a comprehensive look at your health, screening for over 500 conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage 1. High-quality imaging, no radiation, no contrast. Book your scan today at Pronuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Pronuvo. Invest in your health today. Visit Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
If they're similar, I don't know, but it is. Is there any other creatures besides? Well, maybe there's certain ducks and stuff that make their home just as much in the sky as they do in the water.
Oh, I mean, yeah. So, I mean, albatrosses are a good example.
Okay,
albatrosses are only ever on land when they're breeding.
Yes, and isn't it like a certain like. Place
it's yeah depending on the species of albatross it's very 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 selective
specific yeah
like I think it's the black-throated albatross will be extinct here in the next probably 10 years because of that
R.I.P.
Because their little island is so trash polluted
yeah
and they don't have the biological capabilities to change breeding grounds
yeah
so they're literally stuffing plastic into their babies' faces
biologically stubborn.
I mean, they're stuck. Yeah. There's no time to adapt and change. And
well, that's where you just go there. You kidnap them.
People are doing that,
and you rehabilitate them in new areas.
Because they
force them to live in them.
Our parents are giving up on nests and stuff like that. So it's bad. Yeah. So there are, but even alders, however you say that, like greater alders, which are a type of marine duck.
Okay.
They are almost always in the open ocean.
Okay.
They're very, very rarely, but they nest in like the sequoias.
Huh.
And they're hilarious to watch land.
Because they don't know how to do it.
Yeah. It's the only time they're ever on land is when they're trying to nest.
Yeah.
So there are all kinds of animals that make their home in a completely different environment than where they nest. I mean, sea turtles are a great example where they drag their, you know, hulls out onto the land and they struggle and they die and they get stuck. But it's what they do to breed.
Right. Yeah.
So there's tons of animals that, you know, do this kind of thing.
Hmm.
Whether it may just be that in Colorado, when these things, we talk about them crossing the desert, maybe they can survive in the water for a period of time or they like the water. So maybe it's a way to refill and rehydrate.
Yeah.
And they're just hanging out.
It's so hard biologically to even consider how that, well, not only getting in the water is one thing, how about getting back out?
It depends on if they're gas filled. Yeah. So what fish do, for example, is the swim bladder organ is they release gas or produce gas to go up and down.
Mm-hmm.
So it may be more something like that, that when they're ready to leave.
I guess they could just jump out of the water like manta ray already do.
Yeah.
And then they're in the air.
Get some speed and then inflate their organ.
Yeah.
And then they're there.
Hmm. Seems like fun.
I mean, it's not. I mean, there are all kinds of animals. Think about the Quetzalcoatlus or the Heteroraxodon, I think is how it is. These giant flying reptiles.
Okay.
They had to get back into the air.
Yeah.
And they're the size of giraffes.
Yeah, how'd they do
so
that?
So they had specialized leg joints. So it would like allow them to bounce.
Like one big boom?
Yeah. Well, they'd gallop a little bit, and then they would bounce and get some speed and get going.
Hmm. That'd be cool to see.
Yeah, that thing scares me more than most things because they ate things our size.
Quetzalcoatlus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they're just giant storks. So they'd walk through like the grass in the forest and eat dinosaurs.
With stabby beaks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. That would not be.
But the things they were eating were like us sized.
Mm. Big marmots.
For them, I mean, they were baby dinosaurs, but.
I mean, that's what we are, big marmots.
Mm-hmm. So it could be something like that. I don't know. There are like tons of animals, though, that make two environments their home.
Okay. Yeah, I guess, yeah, I don't know. It's just hard to, for something that size, it's hard for me to even imagine, but I guess it does exist too. Shoot. I mean, and there's all those, coots. Coots are a pretty big example
of
living in the water and fishing, hunting, Like they're always, I've never hardly ever see them out of the water.
Yeah. I mean, they're pretty much, I mean, they even breed on like little grass mats. So they're not even going on to true land to breed.
Really? Yeah. Which is, yeah, I don't know. Those are really cool birds too.
Yeah. American coot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know.
Otherwise than that, I don't know what the blue dilly is.
Yeah, the blue dilly. I mean, at first when you said like the fin with the claw coming up, I'm like, you know, it's probably just a manatee. Like, it's a manatee somehow ended up here.
Now, I guess it's hard when you're just verbally explaining it.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of depictions or drawings of this thing, and it's pretty consistent.
Yeah. Once you get into that, I mean, it doesn't really fit the manatee.
No, it looks like a big manta ray.
And even moving fast.
It looks like a manta ray with a face.
Yeah. Interesting. What if it's an engine?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how an engine got into a man-made reservoir in Colorado.
It flew.
Yeah.
It's
no more ridiculous than anything else we talk about.
Yeah, I know, right? Well, there was a giant trebuchet.
There we go.
It climbed onto you by accident, and it was a ceremonial trebuchet. They were supposed to launch it, you know, into the ocean, but he was sitting in it, and it launched him all the way across the ocean into Colorado, land right in the lake.
I mean, Colorado also has the salt whales, or not Colorado, Utah, the Great Salt Lake.
Okay.
As supposedly whales that have been seen in the Great Salt Lake.
Okay. That's wild.
The only thing in there, though, is brine shrimp.
Yeah, because nothing can live in there.
Yeah, because it's like 100 times more salty than the ocean.
Wonder if that's an illusion, though, like mirage kind of thing.
It could be. I'm just saying that.
Yeah.
Big animal. Remember, though, there's tons and tons of manta ray sightings there.
Yeah.
And what is that, Salt Lake City? We talked about it in some of our in the book and then some of our Manta Ray episodes.
The Greater Mormon Tabernacle?
Oh, it is in the Mormon city, but yeah.
Oh, okay. I don't know.
They even seen the giant one hanging on to like the bell tower and everything like that. Remember?
Huh. I don't remember that.
Where it was hanging on and it jumped off and flew over town. Like 30 or 40 people seen it.
Not quite. No, I don't.
But it was like, it was dark purple. And
I feel like that should be something I should remember.
I promise we've done episodes on
it. No, I believe you. I'm just saying I don't. It's not. It's escaping my memories.
The Mormons seen a dragon leaving their bell tower, essentially.
Yeah, that's probably not a good sign. If I seen that, maybe I'd just move. But I don't know. Moving's hard. Moving's hard to do. Even if you see a dragon jump out of your bell tower. Yeah, I don't know. This is probably the weirdest story when it comes to our atmospheric creatures and then interacting with people.
And even know if it is an atmospheric creature. Yeah, just
if it were, though, this would be the oddest, weirdest one and most personal, I guess, when it comes to multiple people experiencing interactions with it. But it, like moving that boat, pushing it is kind of wild to me. Like that's just a wild experience to, I guess, have happen. But I don't know. Somewhere out there, I just hope the blue dilly monster is.
I'm trying to find the book link.
Oh, gosh. Just leave it to Peyton. She's the super sleuth. She is the, I don't know. She finds everything. But yeah, I don't know. I don't personally, I mean, I think your explanation may be the best one we got that we can give what this thing could be. Or if it's just some unknown aquatic creature, we just haven't, like El Kiro. Like, what if it's an El Kiro type thing? You know, we didn't really, El Kiro has different, a pattern. It has like a cowhide, you know, type pattern. But, you know, a flatter blanket like aquatic creature that ambushes people. Now, I don't remember El Kiro talking about hands or.
I remember all the teeth around it.
That was the teeth around it, but that was its lower half, I guess, or its underside had its mouth and teeth on it, but. That was just more like a death blanket.
I think I found it.
Found the Blue Dilly book?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, all right. What's it called?
The Legend of the Blue Dilly.
Well, that's should be something.
It is. Only got one review. The Blue Dilly is real. A great story now before the government shuts down. This is in 2015.
Wow. Well, good thing we revived it 10 years later.
The Legend of the Blue Dilly Monster, or Dylan Monster, Blue Dylan Monster, sorry. It's $40.
Dang, it's a rare book.
Yeah, you gotta buy, like, they don't, it's not in print anymore.
So you just gotta buy them and they print on demand?
No, it's not even that. You have to just, like, buy one of the old copies that somebody has.
Oh, that's already been printed.
Mm-hmm. Somebody find me the Blue Dylan Monster book. I'll redo this episode. There's really just nothing. Like if you go through it, and like the five or six articles that show up on this thing are the exact same. Mm-hmm. But it's such a unique thing. And the town has like emblems for it and stuff like that. So I know there's more.
Something to it.
Yeah.
We'll have to go to is it Dillon, Colorado or Dillon Lake?
Dillon Reservoir.
Dillon Reservoir. We'll just have to go to the reservoir and start asking questions. Get boots on the ground, investigative journalist style. Like
the town seal has the Blue Dillon Monster in it.
On
and everything.
It?
Yeah.
It's the new, it's like the, well, it's not like the Hodag, but the town's just embracing it.
Yeah, it's not as extreme as the Hodag is in how much not the yet. Town has.
Not yet.
But I mean, I can't wait for a giant fiberglass 400-foot long Blue Dillon Monster.
Or the and then maybe they'll unveil it at the Blue Dillon Monster Fest.
That hosted by Critters of Corn Podcast.
Yes.
I would do it.
Boots on the ground. Let's get that started. We'll show up. If you book us, we will come.
I hope somebody's near it.
Somebody's got to be.
But yeah, so this is a short one. But yeah, I mean, it was too unique not to talk about.
No, yeah, it's definitely worth talking about. I mean, who knows what it could be? We there's a mystery here that needs to be unveiled.
Is what? There? No, I don't know.
No, there just is.
Yeah. Anything else to talk about?
Yeah. I wonder if it would taste good if you put a little... If you caught one, hooked it, and put a little flavors of the forest on it.
Maybe.
It cut you off a little steak of the Blue Dilly Monster steak. Ooh, someone there should probably sell us that.
I wonder if anybody's actually hooked it.
Hmm. I don't know. It's hard saying.
Any updates for everybody?
Well, as far as?
Just anything. It's a short episode today, so.
As far as Crips of Crow, we're still...
Hopefully my house was delivered to the homestead.
Oh, yeah. When this comes out, that's an update. The studio is still almost done on the outside. We're, for any new listeners, we're building a podcast studio to record this stuff in and hopefully have some nice video features and stuff, give you guys some more, at least so you guys can see what's going on and see our ugly faces. Because I know that's just what you're all yearning for. You want to watch us, not just hear us. So yeah, that's happening. Still, it's slowly but surely. One side of it is sighted now. Mm-hmm. That's nice. So it's next. Once it's all done on the outside, time to start on the inside. It'll be a lot of running electrical wires, drywall in, and because we stripped the building down and we're rebuilding it from scratch, basically. All for you guys. For your benefit at home. At least that's the goal anyways. Besides that, I don't know. I've been bowling well lately. You guys like bowling? I could talk about bowling for a while, but I don't think no one want to hear about that.
Homestead's coming along.
Homestead's moving along. We got a driveway a culvert put in.
I was like, we did not put a driveway in.
We put stone in the driveway.
Anybody runs a rock company and wants to donate about... 100 tons, let me know.
Owns, a rock company. Just
you don't know who listens. There's 75,000 people listening to this show.
I think they're called quarries.
Hey, they're rock companies.
I know, I'm just kidding.
Hamburger sandwich.
Yeah, same difference. Hot dog, sandwich or not?
No.
Why?
One bun.
Some buns you can get away with. One bun can... One bun, still split. It's a split bun. Still what? Split. It's split.
It's not supposed to be split, though.
So a peanut butter sandwich with one slice of peanut butter.
It's a sub.
It's no longer a sandwich?
Mm-mm.
I'm never calling that a peanut butter sub.
Don't do it then.
With a piece of white bread? That's a sandwich still. It's a folded sandwich.
No, it's a sub.
So that means a hot dog is a folded sandwich. It's a folded sandwich with meat in it. That's a sandwich.
What? It's a sub.
A hot dog?
Yes. Because.
Hmm. Subway subs come in all one piece.
That's what I'm saying. It's a sub.
So you're calling a hot dog a sub.
Mm-hmm. I have been the Great and Powerful Mystery.
I've been a Jaclyn67.
We'll catch you next week, guys.
Bye. Bye.
Hey guys, thank you for listening to Crips of the Corn Podcast. Remember, the best way to support the show is share it with a friend. But if you are craving more of the J clones
and more from Mr. E,
there's always extra content on Patreon
and our paid member space on cryptidsofthecorn.com.
We'll catch you next time with more exciting,
fun and informative information.
Bye.
If you're a podcast host, listen up. This one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial. If you're a podcast host, listen up. This one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.